Again. Everybody's waiting, right? Patiently waiting for where are we going tonight? Well, we're in Galatians. So Galatians is be where we need to go. Galatians chapter 1. Be down to verses 18 through 20 of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 18, it says, "Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not." Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, it's a blessing to be in your house as always. And Father, it's a blessing to see each one here tonight and looking forward to what you have for us. And as we continue on our journey through Galatians, and Father, I thank you. Thank you for all that we have from your word, that we can study it and we can learn such great things that we can apply to our lives. And so tonight, Father, I pray that you just draw us closer to you again, increase our faith, and use us to your honor and your glory. And I pray, Father, that we would be known as Christians because we are Christ-like. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been looking at Paul's message was not from Jerusalem, and last week we looked at he was converted en route to Damascus, and then he returned to Damascus after he spent 3 years in the Arabian desert, and tonight we see that he only visited Jerusalem for 15 days. For 15 days he came back and he was there, and as I read, he went to see Peter, and if you were here as we went through all of the stuff before, to see Peter was not to just physically see him. You know, people go, I'm going to go see somebody Thanksgiving, right? People went to see relatives for Thanksgiving. So they went to see them, to physically spend time with them. He went to see him to gain knowledge of what it was like to be with Jesus. And so we see here that he did that, and then Acts chapter 9, 26 through 29, it says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." Interesting, when you go from being a persecutor of Christians and then you become one, Christians are leery of whether or not it's safe to be around you, right? I mean, let's face it, we would think, are they saying they're a Christian so they can get close to us, so they can do us in too? I mean, that could be on the minds of people, right? But I'll tell you what, when God changes a heart, there's a huge change, and it's noticeable. They spend some time with him, and they're going to find out that there was a conversion that took place. And I don't care who it is. If you spend some time with people, you can find out if there was a conversion that took place. Just talk to them for a while. Just listen to what they're saying, and you'll find out. And I was telling Brother Fred earlier, I've got a hearing thing I'm doing Friday on Zoom. I'm used to being in the room, and what we're trained to do is watch body language, because body language will tell you a lot more than what they're actually saying. And so we watch for that. I've never done this over Zoom before. It's going to be interesting trying to watch so many different people, because anytime I've seen anything with Zoom, it's just been a meeting where it's one, whoever speaking is on the screen. Now we're going to have probably as many as 15 to 20 people in that room, in the Zoom deal, and I'm going to have all those things popped up on, how am I going to watch all of those at once and see what's going on? And so it's going to be interesting, but I'll tell you what, you watch people and you can learn some things. you can learn some things. You don't have to say any. They don't have to say anything. Just watch them. I admit I'm a people watcher. I like to watch people. And when we were in Colorado, my wife and daughter and granddaughter went in the shops and all, and I stayed out on the street and I just watched people. And it was interesting, all the stuff that was going on out, and I'm like, some of these people are actually crazy. I mean, just some of the stuff they were doing was just nuts. And I thought the way some of the people driving on the street was really bizarre, because there was two officers standing there just down the street from me I could hear what they were saying. They were that close. And I'm seeing all this going on in the street, and I'm thinking, why aren't they doing something about this? And yet people didn't. There was two officer cars parked in the middle of the street. It's not like you didn't know they were there. And yet they were still doing crazy things. And I'm like, what are they doing out there? What are they thinking? But people watchers, so you watch. They spend some time with Paul. They're going to find out there was a true conversion experience and that he truly loves the Lord. But he returned home to Cilicia, the region in which Tarsus was located, and Syria, and was unknown to the Judean church. In Galatians 1:21-24, it says, Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. See, once you hear about what he's doing, he's glorifying God. He's preaching Christ. You know, some people say, well, they're preaching Christ, but they're not part of our group. So are they for us or are they against us? Hey, if they're preaching Christ, if they're preaching the gospel, people can still get saved. You know, I had a conversation with a guy one time, member of an independent Baptist church. And he said, unless you're a member of an independent Baptist church, you're not going to heaven. That show me that from this book. Yeah. This book says, whosoever. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means they're going to heaven. They're not just independent Baptists. I know people from several different Baptist persuasions that have a great testimony of salvation. There's some people in some churches that I wonder why they're there, but they have a great testimony of salvation. Are they going to be in heaven? I think there's some independent Baptists that are going to be shocked to find out who's in heaven, and will probably be shocked to find out who's not. Because some people we thought were might not be there. But it's interesting. Paul had quite a reputation, didn't he? When he was Saul of Tarsus, he had quite a reputation. Your reputation precedes you, right? And yet, when he got saved, and he's preaching the gospel, they also glorified God in him. And then he then ministered in Syrian Antioch with Barnabas in Acts 11:25-26, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They were called Christians first in Antioch, and this is a pet peeve of mine, because they were like Christ. They were like little Christs running around. And so they were called Christians. It wasn't because they were acting like the devil. It was because they were acting like Christ. Now, if we want the name Christian, we need to act like Christ. People say, well, we can't. Yeah, you can act as close humanly possible as you can get to it, yes. Why do we want to act like the devil and tell everybody we're a Christian? So that they think they can act like the devil? They already are. In fact, I know lost people who live a better life than Christians, so-called Christians. They know, drives me crazy, how they know so much about the Bible and yet they won't get saved. And they blame it on people who profess to be Christians. It's like, I had one guy actually say this to me. He goes, if I get saved, then I'm going to have to go to church as much as you do. And that's an awful lot of time out of my week I could be spending doing other things. When I live just as good as most of the Christians I know. Now, he's the same one that says, I'm his favorite Baptist. I honestly believe I'm the only Baptist he knows other than my wife. But the fact remains that this is what we put up with, because people are professing to be Christians and they're not acting like Christ. So, my plea is, if you're not acting like Christ, quit telling people you're a Christian. Because don't use the name unless you're going to actually identify with Christ and be like Him. It makes it difficult for those of us who are trying to share the gospel with people, hoping and praying that they'll get saved, when they don't want what we got, because the majority of the people they know aren't acting like it. You know, it's ridiculous when you find out from people who aren't saved that you've been witnessing to for years and years and years, and then you hear all kinds of stories about Christians they know that are doing all kinds of things they're not supposed to do. I said, all I can say is my favorite line, and that's Christians give Christians a bad name. And it's true. But let's act like Christ if we're going to use the name. I think it's the least we could ask. I think it's the least that God could expect, is that if we're going to use Christian, identify as a Christian, we should actually act like Christ and do what He would have us to do. Then we move on to a defense of Paul's authority for his gospel of grace in chapter 2. The gospel of grace has confirmation from the Jerusalem church. Continuing to summarize his past travels, Paul now points out that although the Jerusalem church and the apostles there did not give Paul his message, they did approve of it. Folks, if we're all preaching the same gospel, we're preaching from the same book, the same message, we're not watering it down, we're not twisting it inside out and upside down. If we're preaching the same thing, then we should be accepting of that. Right? I can have fellowship with anybody who's willing to go by this book. It's the ones that don't go by this book that I can't have fellowship with. It's when they ask me to go to these ecumenical meetings. We need to have the whole Christian community meet together and pray. I can't. Why? Because I don't agree with their teachings. Because they teach contrary to this book. How can I align with them? Oh, great scriptures. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? We can't. We have to agree if we're going to walk together. Can you imagine two animals out there plowing a field, and one's going this way and one's going this way, and they're tied together? You can't do it. It's not going to happen. They've got to go in the same direction. They're tied together. We have to agree on the Word of God. If we don't agree on the Word of God, then we can't fellowship. It's that simple. You got to agree on the Word of God. And so that's what they needed to do. And they didn't give Paul the message, but they did agree with his message because it was the same message they had. Came from the Lord. You know, again today I was told, great message this morning. Okay, fine. Praise the Lord. I don't need to get glory and honor and praise. All that needs to go to the Lord. It's His message. I just get to be the messenger. But it's His message. But The legalists falsely claim to represent the Jerusalem church with their false gospel. We represent them, but our gospel is nothing like what they're teaching, right? How can you represent somebody when you don't agree with them? It doesn't make sense. You can't. No? We're ambassadors for Christ. We better agree with him. If we don't agree with him, then maybe just be silent. Because you're giving the rest a bad name. But agree with him, and agree with him 100%. I got to tell you, if you agree with God 80%, it's not good enough. If you're counting on salvation only 80% sure, it's not good enough. It's got to be 100%. Let's agree with God 100%. Is God ever wrong? No. He can't be. He's God. So let's agree with him. And when we're preaching the gospel, then other people can align with us that are preaching the gospel. And I didn't say another gospel, the gospel, the true gospel. And then Paul traveled back to Jerusalem with Barnabas and Titus in Galatians 2:1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Paul shared his gospel of grace with the Jerusalem leadership. In verse 2, it says, "And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." He refused to yield to the legalists. I've been called a legalist because I believe this book. Just because you believe this book doesn't make you a legalist. Just because I want to follow Christ doesn't make me a legalist. They say, well, you can't do a lot of things. I can do a whole lot more than the things I can't do, and the things I can't do, I don't want to do. So did I really give anything up? Well, you got to give up so much to be a Christian. No, you don't. You have to accept so much. I mean, let's face it. God has given me abundantly above all I could ask or think. He's done great things in my life. Is my life perfect? No. Why? Because I'm human. It's not because God messed it up. It's because I messed it up. But thank God that I get to walk with him and I get to represent him. Titus, as an uncircumcised non-Jew, had become a test case in Galatians 2:3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Was keeping the Jewish law of the circumcision was the first step. In keeping the Jewish law, the first step was circumcision. That's what they had to do. But was it required for salvation? There were some that were teaching it was. Would that not be grace plus works? Yeah, of course it would. Which this doesn't teach. So Paul didn't teach that. Because why would you teach something that's not in the book? It wouldn't make sense. But the legalists did. Why? It's all about control, right? You can make the people do what you want them to do. Sound familiar? Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that going on in the world today. They're trying to make the people do what they want them to do. Not because it makes sense, not because it's right, but because they want to control. That's exactly what was going on then. They wanted control. As I said this morning, the one who's in control, our leader is the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't get to be in control. In fact, most of us are out of control most of the time. We need somebody who's in control leading us. And thank God that Jesus is our leader. And we can trust him. Paul refused to have him circumcised, and the Jerusalem church did not compel him to do so in spite of the legalist's attempts to the contrary. Why? Because what Paul was teaching in the Jerusalem church was lining up. It was the legalists that were out to lunch. Yeah. Preaching something that wasn't in the book, that wasn't given to them. Not part of the gospel. Note that those who taught salvation by Christ plus works were referred to by Paul as false brethren. False brethren. Paul didn't give them one inch. He didn't pull any punches. Told them exactly what they were. What did Jesus do with the legalists of his time? He rebuked them. Yeah. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. Yeah, they were sad, all right. Jesus didn't give them an inch. Paul didn't give them an inch. And we shouldn't either. Call them out for what they are. Oh, I can't believe it. I know people, they listen to some of the goofiest, don't even want to call them preachers, false teachers, I guess is what I could call them, out there, and they just think how wonderful they are. I'm like, have you even listened to them? They're so far from the book, it's not even funny. And I call them out. I was with a guy one day, and this couple, we went to visit. They had visited the church. We went to visit them, and they were telling us how great Benny Hinn was. And I have to tell you, sitting there, and I had the associate pastor with me, so I was like, okay, do I just be quiet and pray, or do I say something? Because I'm about ready to explode. And the associate pastor looked at him and said, I got news for you. That boy's not saved. What do you mean? Teaches contrary to the Word of God. Said, he looked at him and said, I'll be a monkey's uncle if that boy is saved. He says, the only reason why he preaches is he's in it for the money. The Bible teaches that we shouldn't be. Yeah. I said, whoa. So we got out to the car afterwards. I said, I'm so glad you said something because I was about burning up inside, ready to just explode. I said, I couldn't even believe that they believed that garbage was anything good. They sat there and told us they watched him every single time they got a chance. Like, brainwashed into believing a lie. Don't get brainwashed. Know the truth of the gospel and don't give those heretics an inch. Yeah, they're heretics. And there's a bunch of them out there. I just mentioned the first one that came to mind, but there's several others that are coming to mind now that I'm telling you, stay away from that garbage. It'll lead you astray. Galatians 2, 4 through 5 says, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. No, don't give them any space. I tell you, when those guys came to my front porch and they started in with their another gospel garbage, and I just said, this is what the Word of God says, this is what the Word of God says, this, I was not giving them an inch. I did not want them to even slightly think that I believed what they believed. And I just, everything they came up with, I came out with Scripture on it. And that's what we need to do. Don't give them an inch. And it's amazing how fast they have to go when they think that you might be converting their trainee. It's amazing. The time is really wasting when you give them the truth, they don't want to talk anymore. I could have stood out there on that front, I didn't care how cold it was, and it was cold. And my coat was in the house. But I didn't care how cold it was, I wanted them to know the truth. And as long as they were willing to talk, so was I. Didn't matter. We don't need to give them an inch. We need to tell them the truth. And it's interesting and something that I've had to address on several occasions, and it looks like maybe again soon. But being with people out showing houses and all, and I was in a house one day, and I may have shared this here, but I was walking out of the bedroom, which was turned into an office, and right on the wall, here's an ordination certificate for the lady of the house. And I said, that's not biblical. It came out like about that fast. And the husband and wife team I was with, the wife said, now you can't be judging her. Said, I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Said, can you explain to me how she could be the husband of one wife? She's going to be ordained to preach the gospel. Somebody explain that to me. Said, well, you just got to let them do whatever they're going to do. It's wrong. Why do we need to give them an inch? Why? Do you know that's why we have a lot of the problems we have right now? Because Baptists have decided it's not worth trying to correct. Just let them do whatever they're going to do because it doesn't hurt us, right? Let them continue aborting babies because we don't believe in it and we're not doing it. Let them just go on and continue to have their same-sex marriages because it's not affecting us because we're not doing it. God judges nations as well as individuals. So we all are affected by the judgment of God when we allow these things to take place and when we support them. So yes, we need to not give them an inch. And yet, too many Christians are giving them more than an inch, and they're supporting what they're doing, and it's wrong. And God says it's wrong. It's not just me. It's God says it's wrong. So we need to call it out. And we need to tell them it's not right. Paul also states that the apostles and leadership of Jerusalem had no more authority than he did as an apostle. He then makes it clear that they added nothing to his gospel message. Hey, if you're preaching the whole gospel, what do you need to add to it? There's nothing to add. That's why when I say God requires that I preach the whole counsel, I've got to preach the whole book. I can't just take the parts I like. I have to tell you, there's some messages that are really easy to preach. God is love, and all He wants is to bless you. That's an easy message to preach. God hates sin, and He's going to judge, and judgment's coming and all that, and be careful because we might get caught up in the midst of it for a while. Those aren't so fun, right? Doom and gloom is not fun to preach about. The end time. Folks, we're in the end times. If you don't think we're in the end times, wake up. We are in the end times. Things are not going to get a lot better. They're just not. Read the book. See how it ends. Always like it when you know how it ends, right? You already know. Why read the book, right? I already know how it ends. No, read the book. You need to be in it. And look at what's going on. Man, things are lining up and lining up and everything is coming together. And it's amazing. And a guy this week says, what happens if the election turns out the way I don't want it to? God's still in control, right? And it's still part of His plan, right? So it may not be the way you want it to go, but it's the way God wants it to go. Are you going to be on His side or not? You don't have to agree with what's going on. God doesn't say we have to agree with it. But let's not bite our fingernails to the quick in the process. It's going to be what it is. You know? As I said this morning, be thankful that God allowed us to get some conservative judges. Some that aren't afraid to stand on the Constitution. Yeah. Tell you, we got some liberal judges that need to be replaced. You can't legislate from the bench, and that's what they do. And it's wrong. But they added nothing to Paul's gospel. Why? Because they didn't need to. He was preaching the gospel. Galatians 2:6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. The legalists were claiming that both that Paul was a lesser authority than the apostles in Jerusalem, and that they were adding works to Paul's gospel. Hogwash. You don't add works to the gospel. You can't do anything to earn salvation. If we could, we'd be boasting. The Bible tells us that. God knows man's heart. And we would be both, look at what I did. Can you imagine? Get a bunch of Baptists together. I just see, this is what I did for my salvation. Well, I did this for my salvation. Well, no, I can beat both of you. I did this for mine. Where would the unity be? We'd be in competition with one another all the time. That's not God's word. God says he wants us to have unity. Yeah. We're not going to have unity if we think we're competing with one another. There's no competition here. Oh, I remember telling a pastor across the valley one time, I said, there is no competition. We are on the same team. Well, this valley isn't big enough for more than one Baptist church. Really? I don't give an inch. So my next question, at that time there was 90,000 people in the valley. I said, so your church has every one of 90,000 people attending it? Well, no. Well, then I guess there's room for another Baptist church or two or three or 10 or 20. Till we reach all of them, I think there's some room. There's just no room out there. This is my territory. I don't see where God says, you get this territory, and you get this territory, and you get that territory. No. It says, preach the gospel to every creature. So until we reach them all, we don't have enough. I've said for years, one of the biggest mission fields in the world today is the United States of America. Yeah. It's sad. Shouldn't be, but it is the truth. Galatians 2:6, but of these who seemed, moving on, Paul was received by James, Peter, and John, and his gospel of grace for all, specifically the Gentiles, was approved. This refuted the claims of the false teachers at Galatia that they, not Paul, had approved the authority approval and authority from the Jerusalem church. Legalists didn't have the authority of the church. Paul did. Very clear in Scripture. Paul's the one that had the authority. And ultimately, who gave Paul the authority? Jesus. Same thing I said to my ordination council. Ultimate, my authority came from God himself. Not from an ordination council and not from a church, but from God. Now, I'm not diminishing the fact that I was ordained. Thank God. It's something that is required, and I think it should be. But ultimately, the authority came from God. And that's where it should come from. When it comes from God, then you know it's right. When it comes from man, how do you know what you got? Man wants to listen to people who will tickle their ears. God's going to call people who will preach the truth. You know, I've been in churches where they told the pastor what he could and couldn't preach. It's because you can't preach against sin that we're involved in. I'm sorry. I don't get my marching orders from the church. I get my marching orders from God. And if you know what's right, you should be praying that God will give me the message that you need. Not that you want, but that you need. And then God will work that out. In Galatians 2:7-10, it says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. So they went, God called Paul as an apostle to the Gentiles. Thank God. Aren't you glad that the message went to the Gentiles? Yeah. I am. I'm not Jewish. If you listen to my grandmother years ago, she used to say, you're Heinz 57 variety. It said, so my ancestors got around to just about every continent, apparently, from the sound of things, but I'm not Jewish. I'd be known as a Gentile. Thank God the message went to the Gentiles. Thank God it also went to the Jews. Thank God it's a whosoever gospel. Doesn't matter who they are. I thank God we have an in with, we've got two missionaries over in Israel, and we've got one in Texas, and they're all trying to reach the Jewish people with the gospel. And two of them over in Israel are the Arabs. They don't care who they are. They're a human soul. They're going to spend eternity somewhere. They're getting the gospel to as many as they can. It's what we need. We got the days in the Middle East. Granted, they're in the States, but they're still ministering into the Middle East, trying to reach people with the gospel. It doesn't matter if they're Jew or Gentile. What matters is, do they know Christ as their own personal Savior or not? That's what matters. You know, they got this big thing going on. Everybody's a racist today. Doesn't matter what you do, you're a racist. It's crazy. You're either saved or you're not. Period. There is the human race. You're saved or you're lost. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what it's about. And that's what we need to be about, getting the gospel to everybody, not just people we think need to hear it, not people that just we think we like the way they look, so we want them to know. There's some people that pick and choose. We shouldn't pick and choose. God brings people into our life for a reason. We need to share the gospel with them. It's not always easy. I've had some people that just absolutely called me everything but nice because I shared the gospel with them. Okay, that's their choice. They reject the gospel. That's their choice. It's not me they reject. I mean, they can say all the bad things they want about me. I can't save them. It's Jesus they reject. That's the same thing with the legalist. They were anti-God. They believed they were doing God's work, but they were anti-God. Paul, when he was Saul, thought he was doing God's work, but he was anti-God. We got people today claiming to be Christians and they're anti-God in their actions, their words, and their deeds. It's the way they are. They need to understand that's not what God would have us to do. All right, we're out of time, so we're going to stop there. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for your love and your mercy and your grace towards us. We thank you for your word. And Father, I pray that we preach the whole counsel, that we don't water it down, we don't twist it and turn it and all. We just preach the truth, and that is salvation by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, plus or minus nothing. It's all finished in the finished work of Calvary. So, Father, I pray that we would understand that and we would follow that, and that we would have a desire to be Christians, not just do Christianity, but be a Christian. Following Christ, walking with the Lord, doing things with God. So I just thank you for what you're going to do tonight. As we have a time of invitation, we'll turn it over to you. If there's anyone in our midst that doesn't know Christ, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would convict their heart and they would come and get saved. For it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.